Do you ever feel overwhelmed, stressed, stuck, anxious, or depressed? Do you sometimes question your sanity? Does it make you even more overwhelmed when a well-meaning friend or a national self-improvement guru says all you need to do is work harder at being a better person, exercise a positive outlook, forgive, meditate, or just let go? Well, our guest this hour says that doesn't help someone who is struggling with emotional or mental health issues, and she'll tell us what she discovered does help this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, May 5th. May is National Mental Health Month, and our guest psychoanalyst will tell us how emotional experiences can help people suffering from our most common afflictions, from depression to being agitated to being stuck. We will welcome your questions and your experiences for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Dr. Claudia Louise is a psychoanalyst and author of the new book, Where's My Sanity? Stories That Help. Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, let me start out with a comment from Facebook. David writes on Facebook, "It seems that with the proliferation of mental maladies that virtually everyone could be diagnosed with, in such a world, what is sanity?"
Well, sanity is very simply walking through your day feeling okay about yourself and other people. It's a feeling that whatever comes your way, negative or positive, it's where you should be and you're okay with it. It doesn't mean that you think one particular way that's got a standard. It means that whatever you're thinking, you're somehow at peace with it.
Yeah. And who are you addressing in your book?
I'm addressing pretty much the American collective consciousness right now, which is pretty agitated. I don't know if you agree with that, but it seems like more than ever we're turning to medication and we are extremely agitated, which, by the way, I think is a good thing.
Why do you think it's a good thing?
Because we're opening up. And whenever people start to open up, even though it looks like they're getting worse, they're on their way to getting better. We're super agitated, we're anxious, we're depressed, we're frazzled, we're overwhelmed, we're stressed. We just haven't found the right way to deal with all that yet.
Yeah. Well, how is the mental health industry system dealing with these issues now?
Well, the American way, the way we've always dealt with any problem we've had, is to work harder and try our best. Just doesn't happen to work when it comes to our emotions. We can't try harder to be saner.
Yeah.
Emotions have a mind of their own, a life of their own. They're currents of energy. If you look at have you ever been on a whitewater rafting trip?
I have.
Well, that body of water's got a life of its own. You have to learn how to navigate those waters. You can't control them the way that we pioneered the land. We just have to find a new way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've read that your brand of therapy goes against the American way. What is your brand of therapy?
Well, working with currents of emotion means that you have to be in them and accept being in them. I had a guy, for example, come into therapy a couple of weeks ago, and he'd been to see me before through a terrible divorce, a very cold-hearted man. And I had worked to help him manage his soon-to-be ex-wife so that it wouldn't go into a brutal battle. And he'd gotten through it and then left therapy. A couple of years later, I get a call from him, and he's a mess. He had a girlfriend back in Tennessee, and then he had a girlfriend in Boston. He now had two women, and he was a very high-powered businessman, and he was just falling apart. He said, "I can't manage anybody. I'm in a completely anxious state. I can't make any decisions. I don't trust myself. I don't know what I want. I don't know what I'm doing with these two women. They each don't know about the other person." And you got to help me to get back to the place I was at, which was, of course, that cold-hearted place. I had no desire to get him back to that whole cold-hearted place. So I explained it to him. I said, look, you're opening up. You're feeling a lot of things. And when you've got an open mind, the unfortunate side effects are that you're not sure of yourself. You question everything. You're questioning yourself. You're in a search for meaning, a search for what you're feeling, for where you're at. And that requires that you're going to doubt everything about yourself, feel terribly insecure. So just know that you're in this place. We're going to evolve from this wonderful place. And fake it till you make it at work. You've been a manager for a long time. Just go about your business there. And that helped him a lot because then he knew that he could stop fighting himself. That's the American way. We've got to fight what we're feeling and get to a better place, which, of course, doesn't work with emotions. So as soon as he knew that he was in the right place for where he was at and that he was going to evolve to a better place, when he had that faith and that hope, he could fake it till he made it at work and then come to his therapy with me and start to sort out what his feelings were.
Yeah. And when you say that we should be looking at emotional experiences rather than maybe what other gurus tell us to, you know, just have a more positive outlook or just be happy. What exactly do you mean by experiencing emotion?
Well, when he came in, he got a feeling in light of all this agitation, which was reassurance and hope. So he could be where he was. The American way is to move to a better place, to get better, have more money, feel more certain, feel more powerful. The emotional experiences are very simply being heard. When somebody hears your logic, who's trained in these currents of emotion and can help you be okay being where you are, then you can use those feelings to evolve. So he was starting to feel emotions for each of these women. This was terribly discombobulating for this cold-hearted guy. And that now we have to sort through what his feelings are, which of these currents of emotions he's allergic to. We have allergies to certain feelings. And that's an emotional experience. It's not a cognitive experience. A cognitive experience would be to say, look, you've got to make a decision between one of these two women. Let's look at the pros and cons of each woman. Let's get you back to that certain place. Let's help you figure out what decisions you have to make at work. And we would be trying to conquer the monster of emotional chaos. So that is the American way. That's the positive psychology that in light of these super strong emotions doesn't work.
So how is he doing today?
Well, he's just started treatment. He's a lot calmer right now, but now we have to sort through what would happen if he let himself form a commitment, an attachment, what he's afraid of. We're only on the start of this wonderful whitewater rafting trip. I have no idea what the rapids are that lie ahead of us. It's going to be an interesting adventure. I'm looking forward to it.
We are talking with Dr. Claudia Louise, a psychoanalyst and author of Where's My Sanity? Stories That Help. We are talking about how personal experiences can help us when life becomes challenging, and we're welcoming your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, May 5th. May is National Mental Health Month, and we are talking with a guest, a psychoanalyst, who is the author of the new book, Where's My Sanity? Stories That Help, Dr. Claudia Louise. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions for her. What do you do when life throws you a curveball? What do you think of the state of the mental health condition in the U.S.? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think of national gurus telling us how we are supposed to just be better, be happier, be more authentic, more organized, be the best in every way? Does that help you? Do you think that helps? Our guest says it really doesn't. And we're talking about why and what would be better. And again, welcoming your input. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let's we have a caller, so let's go to Jack in Hayward. Hello, Jack. What's your question? Jack, are you there? Well, I'm sorry, Jack. I don't know why you can't hear me. He thinks that that there are. He wants to talk about narcissism. Dr. Louise, I don't know exactly what his question was. He says people can have an open heart, but they can still be corrupt if they have narcissistic tendencies.
Yes. Well, you know, narcissism is the way that I look at it, when you're kind of in the bubble of your own world. And everybody, in my opinion, because we're so sophisticated emotionally right now, has one or two places where we get in the bubble of our own world because there's something that we don't want to see. For example, I had a woman who was in treatment, and she was an executive at a company, and she never wanted to feel that she was inadequate. So when people under her were very smart, she would never thank them for anything that they did. She could never acknowledge anybody else being adequate because it made her feel inadequate, and she couldn't go there. So she had a little bubble around herself because she didn't do that particular feeling. So sometimes if we have an allergy to a particular feeling, we get into a little narcissistic space. When you have that narcissism, you can't let anybody in. You have to ward off that feeling. So I like to think of narcissism as just the way that our mind handles currents of energies. Some people really have trouble with a lot of different emotional currents, so they're going to have more narcissism than others. It's very curable. It's very easy to deal with if you work with a navigator who's skilled in going into these currents of emotion. And some people are able to cure their own narcissism, which is so interesting and fantastic.
Yeah. Well, do you think that our national mental health is in crisis right now?
No doubt about it, in a very good way. You know, a crisis is opportunity. Isn't the Chinese definition for crisis also opportunity? Isn't that the other meaning for it? Whenever couples get into crisis because somebody has an affair, that's always the time when you can really, really open up to these currents of emotion, and it's a time of instability. And that's where we're at nationally, because we have the luxury of studying ourselves. We have a lot of abundance. Every phone that we buy, there's 10 other phones like it, so it's got to be about which is the prettiest phone, which means that pretty phone has to have a story of its own. So as our culture moves more towards stories and meaning and emotion, look at Steve Jobs and what he did with Apple. That's our inner life has to parallel that. We've got to look a little deeper. We have to know ourselves in a more sophisticated way. So as a psychoanalyst who's been working with currents of emotions, I'm so excited about what looks like a crisis in our mental health, because we're really opening up. It's unbelievable. My yeah. practice is fuller than it's ever been. It's no longer a stigma to go to therapy. Incredibly exciting.
Yeah, but when we're talking about some of these common ailments, depression and anxiety and feeling stuck or overwhelmed or stressed, that's one thing. But is it isn't it a totally different thing if there is something like, you know, schizophrenia or a more serious mental illness?
Well, you know, I won an award for treating a schizophrenic. To me, it's just a matter of degree. So there are certain people, and these currents of emotion are so strong in our systems that they actually affect our chemistry and they actually affect our brain structure. But it's all just currents of energy, Joy.
Yeah.
So it's really just a matter of... Now, Freud believed that everybody had to get cured to be a high-functioning heterosexual. Now, we've come a long way since Freud. We don't have a standard like that people have to get to. The schizophrenics that I've treated can get to a place where they're very happy living by themselves, maybe doing some work that Freud wouldn't have considered that worthy. We no longer consider homosexuality a perversion or anything like that. All that you care about with sanity is that a person feels balanced and can enjoy their life.
Yeah. Do some people need medication to feel balanced?
I thank my lucky stars every day for medication, because when you're in the current of a strong emotion, it's so painful. And medication can take the edge off. Imagine being in such a strong current, you feel like you're going to drown. But despite how much I love medication, you don't grow from staying on it.
Yeah.
So eventually, when you can start to navigate the waters a little bit better, it's wonderful to see people get off it and be able to manage their lives without it.
What about those, and I think everybody probably has had their lives touched by someone like this, who might have various emotional or mental health issues, but is resistant to medication or to getting any help whatsoever?
Well, you know, you never know what a person is fighting. I had a woman who really needed to get on medication because she was a raving lunatic at home and her kids were starting to have anxiety problems and her husband couldn't take it anymore. And the therapy seemed to be fueling the fire in some way. And when it was suggested to her she should take on medication, she said, you're all trying to kill me. So nothing worked, and she was determined to be a raging lunatic. This was somebody who had been completely invisible growing up and, in fact, didn't speak for an entire year of her childhood life. So she needed to have a period, an epic in her life, where she would be spewing a lot. Eventually, it did calm down, and you cannot change the current, unfortunately, of if you've been whitewater rafting, sometimes you can't change that current. There are people who are determined to be on the trajectory that they're on, and the more you fight that current, the worse it gets, and you basically have to figure out how to go with the flow. So her husband and I worked together to understand what was making her so crazy. She felt unloved. You don't love me. Nobody cares about me. To hear that feeling, to be with her, join the current, and that seemed to calm her down. Unfortunately, with the narcissism, once a person has a thought in their head, there's very little you can do to convince them otherwise, and that thought can be very, very distorted.
Yeah. So how does one understand these currents of energy, these currents of emotions?
That is the key question to how you do this work. The way to understand them is that they are stronger than our ability to reason, which if you've ever had anyone in your family or friends who are in that bubble of narcissism, we all know that. So the problem with narcissism is that we have a lot of logic in our American psychology. We've got a lot of standards for example, parenting. I had a mother come into treatment with me who was having discipline problems with an unruly child. And the child was starting to go down the route of being diagnosed for ADHD. She wouldn't come to dinner. This woman had read books on parenting. She practically had a PhD in parenting. She knew every single strategy, from rewards to consequences to... She knew everything there was. We all have this education, but nothing was working. Why? Because you can't change a current of emotion. So are you going to a break, or do you want...
Yes, we are going to go to a break. So maybe we'll pick up on the emotional currents after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Dr. Claudia Louise, author of Where's My Sanity, after we check the latest news. Do you ever question your sanity? We are talking about how to find our sanity this hour with a psychoanalyst and author. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, May 5th. May is National Mental Health Month. And we are talking with a guest who says that national gurus who tell those of us who feel depressed or anxious or overwhelmed that we should just be happy or just be more enlightened or be more authentic or just get over it are not helping. She says emotional experiences are what helps. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions about that at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. Claudia Louise, a psychoanalyst and author of the book Where's My Sanity? Stories That Help. And before we go on, Dr. Louise, what are the, you know, give us an example of stories that help from your book.
Well, the stories in my book are really have one purpose, and that is to help my readers to have faith in how to look inwards, because we've been looking inwards completely the wrong way, and there's a right way and a wrong way to get comfortable with what you feel. So my book shows them how to look inwards. There's a story in there about a womanizer who, like this patient I was telling you about, fell apart completely, and how he had to surrender to try to understand himself, to having a question. There's a couple in the book who are on the brink of divorce. They're not having sex. They are not communicating. And it's about how they came to understand each other's narcissism, since that's the word we're using today. There's a kid with ADHD in there and what her mother did. There's a guru who comes to see me, an Eckhart Tolle fan, and we kind of hash it out in that story. So by the end of the book, the reader, I hope, has a new understanding and new faith about how all this agitation can really take them to new places. And I'm happy to tell you what the wrong way is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You said there's a right way and a wrong way. What's the wrong way?
Well, the wrong way is to take what the gurus are telling us, which is about what the standards should be, how good we should be feeling, how unconflicted we should be, and expect that we should be there. That's the light at the end of the tunnel. We can't be expected to be in that place. The gurus are giving us hope about where we can get to, but we've got to take a step back from that. The other wrong way is to think that if we have insight into ourselves, that's going to help. I went to school way back when, and a bunch of my friends were seeing Freudian psychoanalysts 3 times a week. And by the end of the 3 years of therapy, they knew everything about themselves. They completely knew their own story. what they went through with their mother and their father, and it didn't do a thing to help them. Insight, finding our story, again, it's kind of an intellectual process. It's not an emotional process, and it just doesn't trickle down to the intense emotions that throw us for a loop. And the other problem with modern-day psychology that's failing us is that we think we're supposed to accept our feelings. Our feelings are not acceptable. It's not acceptable to be depressed. It's not acceptable that our husband is hostile and rude to us, or our wife is disrespectful and not loving. So accepting our feelings, thinking we have to have insight, and having these standards is the wrong way to go about this process.
And what's the right way?
The right way is to start exploring what we feel in a way that we can start to accept it. We fight ourselves. For example, the man who came in this state of anxiety, he was trying to get himself back to a more certain, more stable place. So he was fighting everything he was feeling. He couldn't stand it. And we are all similarly caught in a struggle within ourselves. We can't stand what we're feeling. We only long to be different. And we can't be where we are because we don't have the faith that it's going to take us places. My book shows people where being in these agitated states can take you and what you have to do. The emotional experiences that help you are being reassured about what you're feeling, understanding its place in the life of your mind, and having somebody who's not just going to listen to you but truly hear you. Half the time we talk to somebody, they listen for 5 minutes, and they spend the next 5 minutes telling us what we should do to feel better, to do better. So we rarely have the emotional experience of being heard. And when you're truly heard, you can get under the logic of narcissism. The reason people go into narcissistic bubbles is because they don't want to feel something. When you listen long enough and the person can explain themselves to you, that narcissism lifts. As soon as things are spoken, it's like magic. The bubble lifts. So it's about trying to get to that place by the simple act of listening.
We had a caller over the news who had a very sad story that I can't relate in great detail, but she had an abusive husband. She was divorced. She lost a lot of loved ones due to death. And she, I think she wanted to say that it was her faith in religion or in God that got her through, and she wonders what role does faith have in dealing with life's challenges?
Faith is everything, because our psychology has been so inadequate, we've lost faith in psychology. And because we're American, we like to conquer things with perseverance and inspiration, which doesn't work. We need faith, and the faith is that accepting our feelings, not that as a way of being resigned to them passively, but being where we are, with someone who can hear us and staying in following our emotions can take us to a new place that we're going to learn, we're going to grow. There's two things that happen in a really, really good therapy. One is that we're heard and we can navigate the currents better. If people just have that experience, I'm happy. But then there's advanced therapy, which is that following the currents of our mind leads us to new stories that we never knew about ourselves. I had a woman who was afraid to take a job. She had been caught as a teenager streaking naked through the town. And she had been taken in by the police, and it was a very traumatic experience. She didn't realize that she had a fear after that of exposing herself. That fear prevented her from being in any high-exposure situations. We found in therapy, in just talking, we located that fear. It happened in a very strange way. She came in. It was turning summer. She said to me, "Oh, it's turning summer. Everybody's in shorts. I wouldn't dare go into shorts." I said, "Why not?" She said, "I don't like to show my body." That little conversation led to her memory, which she had completely blocked, of getting caught drinking. And then we had this aha moment where she realized, oh, my God, that's what I'm afraid of. So in advanced therapy, the emotional experience of being heard and of getting comfortable with all your currents of emotions can lead you to all the pockets of your brain, the ideas that and stories that you didn't even know were there. Those are the stories that keep us from feeling happy, from enlightenment, from being more productive, from exercising and being healthy.
Because now we do have some callers waiting, let's go to Kathy in Afton, Minnesota. Hello, Kathy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for this topic. I think it's real important. I'm just wondering if the doctor could comment on balance in life and how one achieves that with work and kids. I watch it with coworkers and friends, especially women. I think we try to do too much, and it seems like we've lost that ability to find quiet time to get in touch with our inner self. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Oh, I love this question, because we have the idea, and again, this is the American way, that as women who are balancing work and children and everything else, that we are still supposed to have peace and find a place of restfulness. But ask any woman who's living this life, and you'll know that that's next to impossible. And this is what I mean about these oppressive standards. We are not comfortable being where we are. We think we should be in a different place. It's a form of self-negation. Now, if you know that it's impossible to feel stillness in the middle of this chaotic life, ironically, you find that stillness. But we can't surrender to what we feel because, you know, we've got to conquer this land. We're pioneers. We've got to get to a better place. But when it comes to our emotions, that creates an internal struggle that leads to us pushing what we really feel away. What do we really feel? We really feel confused because we're not sure if we should be working more or taking care of our kids more. And we have to be in this constant state of confusion and conflict to keep studying whether what we're doing is affecting the kids or affecting our pocketbook. So there's no way out of that uncertainty. People who have a lot of certainty and they know exactly what they're doing, their minds are closed and they can't study whether everything's on target. Now, this is a perfect example of how the popular psychology is not really working for us. We want to get to that place of stillness and we push ourselves towards it. That doesn't work. The way to get to a place of stillness is to study what's happening in this moment of terrible confusion. Are we doing right by our children? Are we doing right by our spouse who wants us to earn more money? And to stay in a constant state of evaluation about it and to know that we are doing the right thing. That's the place of stillness. Does that help?
Yes. Thanks very much, Kathy, for the call. We're running near the end of our segment here. What would you like to leave people with this hour, Dr. Louise, in terms of finding our sanity?
I want to leave people with faith that if they can take whatever they're feeling, the conflict, the uncertainty, the agitation, and be in that space without fighting it, and follow the ideas to find out what emotions are hard for them, that's how we evolve. Instead of fighting it to get to a better place by trying to be a better person and pushing those impulses away, that we follow those currents of emotion and really deeply understand what currents are difficult for us, what currents aren't, by having faith that asking ourselves these questions is going to lead us to a new place.
Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Claudia Louise is a psychoanalyst and author of Where's My Sanity? Stories That Help. And we'll be sure to post a link to her website page on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.